start with this Medrash Tanchuma and Ois Dalad. So the Pasuk says, Re'eh Anochi Nesein Avichem Hayom Brocha Uklola. So the Medrash Tanchuma with Midrashic license says, Re'eh Anochi, look at me. Because the problem is, what are you seeing? So the Medrash says in this Pshat, that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Klai, so look at me. Anochi Shebacharti B'Toivu, I chose Tov, and look what I got. So, therefore, I'm giving you a choice. I'm giving you a choice to choose the right thing. But I want you to see what it looks like when you choose the right thing. Now, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was Adam Mikol Adam. It does not sound like a very nihilistic statement. He's saying, look at me. You know, I'm wonderful. You know, like so. What, how do you understand? Shlomo Abrius is a new point. That's before Shimron. So that's the end of that point of the point of the Medrash. But I just wanted to have you read it inside, because this way you believe me that he actually said it. Right? Because otherwise it's like, really? So now let's go back a step. We spoke once that they asked Rabbi Chanan, did the Chofetz Chaim, you know who he was? So Rabbi Chanan answered back that the Chofetz Chaim one time, more than once, said to him that he realizes, the Chofetz Chaim realized, Rabbi Chanan said that the Chofetz Chaim told Rabbi Chanan that the Chofetz Chaim realizes that he's responsible for the whole generation, which means he understood who he was in Klai Yisrael, the role that he played, he understood he has a Christ with all of the whole door, which means he understood he was a Gadol HaDor. He understood who he was. That being said, the Chofetz Chaim was a tremendous honor. We know that Chofetz Chaim was a tremendous honor. I tell you the story with I just remember said it over recently. The story about. Okay, so I heard this from a chaver of mine named Rabbi Yellen, who's a rabbi in Detroit. And he heard this from Hillel Zaks. Hillel Zaks is Mendel Zaks' son, who was the Chofetz Chaim's grandson. Mendel Zaks married the Chofetz Chaim's daughter, and this is Chofetz Chaim's aunt. So Hillel Zaks is not. You know, at this point, is quite a zokain. The story goes back to the 1950s when he was a bocher, and he accompanied Rebaron, besides being in America and you know, being involved in the Metzes Gedolei Torah of Gedolei Yisrael, he also ran Chinuch Atzmoy, and he also was involved in Metzes Gedolei in Eretz Yisrael. So he flew back and forth multiple times during the year. So a bocher would go with him. So Hillel Zaks one time was the bocher who went with Rav Aaron to Eretz Yisrael. So this is where Rabbi Yellen is telling me that Hillel Zaks is telling him the story. So when they were there, they went to visit the Brisker Rav. So Rav Aaron and the Brisker Rav are meeting, and he's the bocher getting to watch this union of these two gedolim. So they were talking and learning, and they ended up discussing a bir halacha, and Rav Aaron exclaimed, you know, there's such gaonis in this bir halacha. Like, what's pshat? The Chofetz Chaim was known as a tzaddik, but he wasn't known as a gaon. Now, what's the pshat? It doesn't make any sense. So the Brisker Rav said, the Chofetz Chaim davened, he shouldn't be known as a gaon. That's the Brisker Rav's terrors. He davened. You're right, Hitaka was a Goyin, and Hitaka the Sefer is Goyinus, and people just don't perceive it, how much of the Goyinus is, because the Chofetz Chaim davened the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Rosh Hashanah answered his tefillah that he shouldn't be known as a Goyin. So Rav Aaron said, Gabal the Gatelis. So Rav Hillel Zaks says, I was a bacher there, and I think to myself, I don't like the Teretz. Because the question was, why is he known as a Goyin, not known as a Goyin, he's known as a Tzaddik. The answer is, he davened, he shouldn't be known as a Goyin. But it means he's okay with being known as a tzaddik. He should have davened be known as a tzaddik either. Like, what's pshat? You know, it doesn't answer the question. But if the Brisker Rav says that's the Teretz, and Rav says it's a good Teretz, you know, he wasn't going to put in his 2 cents and make any count. Good. Fast forward about 30 years later, he's in Eretz Yisrael, and he's talking, you know, he's ready, you know, he's a Shiva. And he's meeting with the Amshon Rebbe, and they're talking and learning, and they end up discussing Bir Halacha. And the Amshon Rebbe says, like, you're such gaonis in the Bir Halacha. What's the pshat that the Chofetz Chaim was known as a tzaddik? He wasn't known as a gaon. So So he says, as a matter of fact, you know, I had this exact same question, this conversation I overheard between Rabbi Aaron and Mr. Rav. So he tells him the whole story. And I'm sure he says, ah, Gavaldik Ateretz. So now he says already, no. It doesn't make any sense. So he looks at him, he says, you know, why do you get it? The Chabad Chaim knew he was a guy. He davened, he should not be known as a guy. The Chabad Chaim did not see himself as a tzaddik. So he never davened, he shouldn't be known as a tzaddik. He was talking about a tzaddik. That was the, I'm sure, the Chabad Chaim did not have any, you know, he knew his role in Klal Yisrael, but he didn't see himself as being a tzaddik because of that. Right? Mr. Rabbeinu was going like a step either. Like he's saying, like, you know, look at me. Like, you know, look what I got for choosing the right thing. So that's the challenge which we're going to try and see if we can understand this. This matters a little bit. Here. So, and the question really is the balance between the idea of self-esteem and the issue of gaiva. That's going to be the balance. Now, we spoke about this once before, and I was machlet not to redo it again. So, but I will reference some of the points that we said before. So, let's just talk about a few things. So, first of all, Revolba in Ali Shur Chedah Beis, which I did not put in here, talks about gaiva. So he says that a bacher should not work on the gaiva. You know, the person works on his midas, he should not be working on the issue of gaiva, he should have gaiva. The person needs gaiva. Because gaiva is what pushes us, we think we're somebody, and what pushes us to motivate us to accomplish things. Okay. But it says the pasuk Tov Hashem called Gavalev, that it's a mamash, it's a midas by Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a Tov, it's an abomination. A person is a Gavalev. There are certain natural things that you have in your life which address the gaiva issue. As long as you address them, you use them well, you'll address the gaiva issue. So he says there's three things which happen naturally which will help you address the gaiva issue. He says the first one is davening. A person that is mispalel, truly, he standing there as this being who has no power, asking from the creator of the world and the master of the world and the source of everything for life, health, pranasa, etc. So, like, where's the guy? Like, that itself is an automatic dampen. Like, I'm such a chashav guy. Really? I mean, let's change the scenario, which we'll actually see. He gives this mushal. You walk into the hospital, you know, and you see this fellow, and he has a heart-lung machine, and he has dialysis, and he has, you know, they're giving him shocks for his brain, etc. He says, you know, look at me. Look, you know, such a chashav guy. I said, you look pretty wiped out to me. Says, well, we're on a heart-lung machine the Baruch Hashem made. We're on a pacemaker the Baruch Hashem made. And we're on a dialysis the Baruch Hashem made. And we're on a brain waves, the electric shocks the Baruch Hashem made. So what's ours? So the act of tefillah is a natural dampening on the guy. Number one. Says, number two, learning with the harusa. You learn with the harusa, right? So you have this fight, you go for a half an hour, like, you know, and you really think that you're right. After half an hour, you realize that you're wrong. Right. Now, the standard operating procedure at that point in time is one of three things. Right. So when you realize that you're wrong, one option is to yell real loud, and then the other guys will give in, and not, you know, because you don't want to admit that you're wrong. So you just yell real loud, and the guy says, okay, I hear your pshat, you know, that's it, you know, fine. Right? That's an option. That's not really an option, but that's what some people do. The second option, which is a standard operating procedure, is people say, I hear. Right? Say to the guy, you know what, I just spent a half an hour trying to say my pshat. I realize that I'm wrong. And Baruch Hashem, you're right. And now we know pshat in the Gemara. Thank you so much. No. That I'm not going to say. I put my kishkas in. I put my covenant in. I put my covenant on the line over here. Like, you know, I hear. Right? That's about the standard operating procedure you get. And the third option is the person who says, you know what, Baruch Hashem, now we know pshat. Says, that's the option you're supposed to do. That's the second thing which helps you work in your gaiva. And the third thing which helps you work in your gaiva, he says, is being mishamash tamid chachamim. Like, you know, when you hang around with people who are less accomplished than you, you feel pretty good about yourself. You hang around with people which are more accomplished than you, it's hard to feel feelings of gaiva. Because, like really? Like what? Okay. Now, there's a story which... this wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva's intent, Rigifta had, I mentioned that he had a phenomenally powerful voice. His voice just naturally carried. And when he yelled, the wall shook. I mean, literally, the wall, if he really yelled really loud, you could see, like, the window shaking. That's how powerful his voice was. I was echad to hear a shiva ne'ila, daven ne'ila. I've never, my first year in shiva, he daven ne'ila, and then he wasn't well, he didn't daven anymore. I've never in my life ever since heard a ne'ila like that. The fear of the Lord, which was instilled in your, like, when he's, just the first Kaddish, you felt chills going up and down your spine. It was like you saw him trembling in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It was like mamash. It was a pachad nerva. Okay, I'll tell you a story about that. Just as agav, right? There's a maisa once with a bachur during World War I. So there's Russian Revolution was taking place. The Russian Revolution. So you had the whites against the reds, and everybody decided the Jews were on the other side because the Jews were communists. Then the Jews were loyalists, you know. So everybody was wanting to kill the Jews. First of all, the whites all hated the Jews anyway because they were anti-Semites. Right? And the fact that so a lot of Jews were communists was another good excuse. So in the Vardik Bacher was caught and accused of being a spy for the Reds. So that, you know, in those days it was very simply that you'd be a spy. They decided they're going to kill him. They take him up to the wall and they get a firing squad. Right? And they put him against the wall and he says his veto, whatever it is, and then the person in charge says shoot, and the guns jam. None of the guns shoot. So the honor, the way it works, and the honor is if that happens, they let the guy go free. So let him go free. So later on, he got back to the rest of the yeshiva, and he's trying to describe to his chaverim the fear that he had at that moment. He's standing by the wall and they're counting down, 3, 2, 1. The pacha that he had of each other, he's trying to find words to describe this chaverim, like what it felt like. So he says, it was like Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur. That's how he... Okay. Anyway, getting back to over here. So the Reshiva one time, Vacha walks over, so tells Musa Seder, it was right after Shachar. So Reshiva would sit down, and he would learn Musa Seder. He told us we should learn Masil Shur, but he himself would learn one day Geras Ramban, one day Geras Kivaker. That was the standard. Geras Ramban one day, Geras Kivaker. It would take him 20 minutes. He would go through the Geras with a Nigan, multiple times, and it would seek in the thoughts of those two things. Geras Ramban is about Lenivus, and different things, etc. The Geras Kivaker is about Yom HaMavis. That was so one morning, after Musa Seder, Baruch went over to Reshiva and asked him, like, he needs help working on Gaiva. So Reshiva asked him, like, in all innocence, I don't understand what you really think you have Gaiva about. Like, what do you have that you really think is, like, an issue of Gaiva? Like, you're not the biggest Lamed in Yeshiva. You're not the biggest Bucky in Yeshiva. You're not the biggest Masman in Yeshiva. You're not the best Davar in Yeshiva. You're not the biggest Sadak in Yeshiva. You're not the biggest Balkhazan in Yeshiva. What do you have a problem with Gaiva with? Like, he said, like, in all innocence, but he said it very, he said it in his regular voice, which is the whole base medrash heard. he said it in Yiddish, I'm saying, I have to tell you, it took care of the Bucky's problem with Gaiva. Because the whole base medrash heard that, that this fellow was just made an idiot out of him in front of Rosh Yeshiva, but took care of his Gaiva problems. Rosh Yeshiva didn't mean that. That wasn't the point she was saying. He says, I don't understand what you have to be a guy about. There's a maisa once with the Rav and Leib that somebody was worried that he'd gotten some Yerusha and they'd give him a brand new car as part of the Yerusha. So he was worried about an Ayin Hara. This person, so they went to Rav and Leib, and Rav and Leib asked him, like, he's worried about Ayin Hara. He says, like, tell me, like, have you finished Shas? He said, no. You finished half a Shas? He said, no. He says, do you know any Masechta Baal Peh? He said, no. He says, I understand, where's Ayin Hara? Like, what do you have that somebody could be jealous of? Okay, good. So Rabba says that, you sit next to Adam Godel, right? You think, like, I'm pretty smart, Somebody one time asked me before I left Tel Zeshiva, this goes back, I was in Tel for 23 years. So somebody along the line, besides my mother asked me, like, when are you going to leave, which was, like, part of the ongoing conversation. But somebody, Bacher, I don't remember whether it was Bacher or Balabas, somebody asked, when are you going to move on, I was the Kalev for 14 years. I was the Kalev for 13 years. I was a Rebbe for 1 year. Then I moved here. August 10th. 1997. So, about 21 years. I can buy a beer tomorrow. So, when are you going to move on? So I said, it's very simple. Like, you know, something happens, some type of a situation happens in the world, you know, and I have my two cents, what I think the lesson you're supposed to take out of it, like, you know, what what's it saying? Then I go to Shmuz and I give the Ketzup, and he says his Havana, and I realize, like, I was a total idiot in my Havana. So as long as that's what's happening to me, I want to stay. I want somebody to straighten me out and help me see it right. You know, I think I got it, and then realized that, you know, there's a lot more to the picture. So that's, you know, that was my answer. Then one day my Rebbe kicked me out and said, it's time to move on. It's okay, so I gotta go. So Rebbe says that there are three things that naturally are going to take care of your gaiva, but the idea of working on gaiva for Bachar, we need gaiva. But he calls it gaiva, which means eventually a person wants to work on that. But the chara, we there seems to be something over here which Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adam Mikol Adam, and he's saying, Rei Anochi, look how wonderful I am. Look what I accomplished with my life. Look how wonderful I am. Look at me. You'll see what happens when you choose good. So how do you understand that? So remember I told you the Rebbeinu Yonah, and he has a sefer called Shari Avoida, and he starts off the Shari Avoida with, he says, the first Pesach of all Avoida is to recognize how chashav you are. And I think, though, the issue over here is we need to define a word, and the word over here is kavod. We've discussed about this before, that the word kavod is rooted in the word kaveh, which means weighty, heavy. And the difference between weight and mass is the actual matter, which is there, and weight is gravity acting on it. So the actual matter which is there, that's really what's really important. The weightiness is when the interface between it and something else recognizes that it's a weighty matter, that there's gravity here, there's gravitas. We use all these words, which mean it's significant. So kavod is the recognition of the value which is there. That's what kavod is. So Reb Chatzel Eberstein one time said that yeder mensch dafalefel kavod yeder tog. Every person needs a spoonful of kavod every day. That's what he said. Now this is Reb Chatzel. If you look at Reb Chatzel Shmuzin, I had an older chaver in Telz, Reb David Barkin, Zichro Lebracha. We were Rusis for a little bit. He was a Rebbe in Telz for many years. So Reb David learned in Panyevich when Reb Chatzel was saying the Shmuzin of Panyevich. So he says, to describe a Shmuzin, Reb Chatzel was an old-time Baal Musar, and he was a hard hitter, like, not like the cream puff stuff we do nowadays. Right? He says that you walk out of a shmooze from Reb Chatzel, you're like this big. Like that was like, you know, like he said, you know, he has shmoozing over there about Gaiva with Pashat is Kefeloch. Then you look at his Mechtovim and you think Pashat is written by a different person. He says, you need a little more Gaiva. You know? Like every person needs a level of Kavod every day. So the answer is very simple. Kavod means value. Everybody has to know that they're valuable. Everybody has to know that they have a role. The Russian put them here in this world for a reason. I think I told you Rapsodic last at that time also, right? Rapsodic says in Sikh Zatzadik, I think it's always Kufnan something, that the Russian made the world. The Russian doesn't make mistakes. So if you believe in Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to believe that you have value. Because if you're saying that you're valueless and you're not important and you're a mess, it means the Russian made a mess. So they say in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say God doesn't make junk. You know, he doesn't. And if you believe that he does, if you believe that you're junk, what you're really saying is God made a mistake. Yeah, but I have all my avarice. The Bershom doesn't know about your avarice. The Bershom put you in the world even with all your... He didn't know your avarice was going to come along. He felt you were valuable enough to put into this world even though you do all these avarice, right? And all these problems and all these issues. He still put you here. If he really thought you were so bad, he wouldn't have made you. If he made you, there's a reason why you're here. You're valuable. You're significant. So, emunah to Kodesh Baruch Hu is mechayev emunah in yourself. That's what Rapsodic writes. So, awesome lakuta. Remember, actually, I said this over in Telz in the dining room. I found this piece. I was still a bacher. So, before Yom Kippur, usually on the Shabbos, one of the Rebbeim meets with the bacher, but every Yom Kippur, the bacher meet by themselves, and the older bacher speak by the Suda. So, I spoke by the Suda, the Suda on the Sekis. They were Yom Kippur. A few years ago, before I got married, And I said over the Surat Sadek, I said, you know, the message going into Yom Kippur is not that we're horrible people, we have all these Averas. That's not the message. The message is that we're very valuable people, the Baruch Hashem made, who have done things wrong, we need to correct them. But if so, so there's this beautiful sefer over here, which just came out recently. So I put a lot of pages in, and I'm not going to be able to do all of it. But if you have time to take it. So this sefer is, came out, put up by Mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Tzvi Butchakovsky, whoever you pronounce his name. I don't know who he is, but the Rebbaron found it, and it's. I think it's like required reading for every Bachur in Yeshiva. Of course, it's written in modern Hebrew, so most Bachurim can't read it. Okay. So he says everybody wants. He starts off with this idea that everybody wants to be exalted. Everybody wants to be murdered. Everybody wants to be like that there's some way that they're special. We have that desire. He says the root of that is Ba'etzem. It's the bottom on the page 105. That Haratzon Ha'az Shel Haruach Lifka B'Tay. But we want to choose good. But Chusha Sipa Kamaneges Shabol Acher Bechir B'Tay. When we feel good, when we choose good. Mekara Echad Haratzon Ani Shabonu Ha'adam Liyas Merumah. That's the desire of the eye of the person that we want to be something special. Everything wants to express itself. This is a good philosophical idea. Nothing wants to be worthless. The eight wants to grow. There's something which pushes it to find its sustenance. It sends out for that purpose roots. It gets water, and it gets everything. Eventually, it takes all of the potential which is inside of there and develop it. So do you think human beings have any less power, any less interest to do that than the natural instinct of the tree or of the animal? The Russian made all of it. The only difference is that man, his definition of that is greater. Okay, next, the second paragraph. We want to express this as well. That the expression of man, the tree expresses itself becoming a tree. The acorn becomes a tree. And man becomes something of significance. The Russian made us, he made us as something unique and special. He wants to be expressed. Okay? He makes this as a given, you know. But you think about it, it's very logical that the Baruch Hashem has a reason why he made us, and he made us. We want to feel that. We want to know that. We want to feel good that we're doing that. Okay. But next page. You know what? Let's skip down. Let's go to page 106 of the Bible. He has a Maamar Moshe over here. Maamar Moshe means like, you know, parenthetical thought. It's really not the main point over here, but I just want to touch on it once we're mentioning it. Tafgeinu b'keharim, our role as parents, is la'af shel yelad v'fateach es tchusha hazoy. The person wants to feel that he's something. That is a natural instinct of a person. We want to feel that we have value. So the role of a parent is to help create that in the child. Tchusha Ramos, the feeling of significance and that the one should have. Shechiyunis me'ein kamoya latzlochas b'vodes Hashem latzlocha b'chayyolam hazeh. It's a necessity for latzlocha in your avodah. Yalav ben shalosayim shima ma'afsheres lo lechol levat. A 2-year-old, which the mother says you can do it, you can eat, be eat by yourself. That strengthening the child's belief in himself. I can do things. I can handle things. But there's going to be a price. That price is going to be her clothing, his clothing, the table, the chair, the floor, and the rest of the house, maybe. Right? But she says, I'd rather have everything clean. So let me feed him. when we say kesher lachila, she feeds him against what he wants. What the child absorbs is, I can't do it myself. There's this famous joke, you know, Jewish mother joke. And Jewish mothers, you know, the joke of Jewish mothers is the smothering, like, you know, helicopter moms smothering. So this, it's a horrible joke, right? The joke goes about this person drives up, this big limo pulls up in front of a building, and out comes a young man, and they pull out the wheelchair, they put him in the wheelchair, etc. You know, the mother comes out afterwards, and somebody says to the mother, that must be so sad. And he says, no, it wasn't so sad. I made sure he never fell and hurt himself. Right? I never let him walk, because I'm afraid he'd fall and hurt himself. So the result is that he can't walk. So smothering is not parenting. Smothering is destroying a child. Parenting is giving the child the message, I believe you can do it. Now, you're going to mess up 15 times. Fine. But the 60th time, you'll get it. So, but if I believe in you, and that's what we do when our kids ride a bike. And I have to tell you, watching your kid ride a bike the first few times, it's excruciating, right? Like, you know, you see your kid fall down and scrape his knee and cry, etc. Say, you know what? You can do it. Go back on the bike again and do it. I don't want to. I said, you know, but when the kid listens to you, either because they're scared of you, hopefully not, they're because they, deep down they want to master this. They're just like, the pain is overwhelming. So you say, you know what? Pain is temporary, but the skill you're going to learn is worth it. So it's true in learning how to ride a bike. It's true in learning social relationships. The first of times you're going to mess it up. But parents said, you know, I want to tell you exactly what to do. So I'll give you some advice, but I believe it. You can figure it out. You're intelligent enough to handle it. The more that's the message, the more the kid has the ability to deal, to talk, believe in themselves, and then express themselves and grow and find who they really are. Yelach ha-mechunach latzmos, a child which is trained to be independent, boiv ha-nachroi ha-muvukar, obviously in a safe way, yiftach harba yosef bagras v'kach yismaradus, he will become much more mature and the ability to deal with issues. The achrayus that he has for himself will strengthen his ability to his feeling of godless. Yelad shaharav misakshim lahashira talusi, they want to leave him that he's dependent. He's not going to mature as well and not deal with life as well. You've crushed the man inside of him. Who margish was gamzin nochun shein lo klum kelim latzeach. He believes he can't do it because Horaya, in his formative years, his parents fed him subtly multiple times, you can't do it, we have to figure it out for you. That's the message. Again and again and again and again. Right? So what do you want from the kid? Now, COVID, the point he says over here, COVID is that feeling, I need to feel that I'm valuable. Okay. Next page. Hamishnah Ba'avis, underlined over there. Omer Atzi Rosh B'Fnei Atzimcha. Mefarash HaRambam. This is a Rambam. It's not like, you know, modern psychology. Okay? Because Yachshav Adam Atzmai Choser Upachus. If a person thinks about himself that he's lowly and insignificant, Lo Yigodol Be'enav Chesron Shiaseyu. So if I do something wrong, it's not the end of the world, because I'm a nobody anyway. So I can do whatever, I can do bad, because, like, what difference do I make? I play zero role in the scheme of things. So whatever I do doesn't make a difference, not good or not bad. So once you see yourself as being insignificant, you'll become a rasha. That's the tzibur al tzibur rasha b'fnei atzmo. Don't allow yourself to accept yourself as that person. But the way you do it, the Rambam says, is because you look at your chaser pachus. So the person has to believe that he's not a chaser pachus. He is a very valuable gift to the world. Well, if he really believes that, that doesn't just say, but he really believes it, he doesn't want to squander that. He's a gift to mankind, so he's got to use it. He can't just blow it and, you know, let himself down. Okay. Chavis Lavavis, which we spoke about before, the Chavis Lavavis, and the feeling of gaiva that I can do it, and if I want to grow more, is not bad. It's not negative. Ben Yarno, he quotes Ben Yarno, brings a mirror grow. A person who's misgoa will keep growing. So gaiva, bad, gaiva is not bad. Okay, so what is man? Gai b'mahi. So, okay, so Chazal used lots of gasus ruach. So if we look in the paragraph, it starts with the word Habir Hamiti on page 110. Habir Hamiti shal nahmunach gasus. What does it mean something is fat? It means gadlus yosim amida ruya. It's too big. Gasus ruach means his ruach is too big for who he really is. Believing who you are is not gasus. That's not gasus ruach. That's not gaiva. That's being intelligent. Believing that you're more than who you are is gasus ruach. That's what Chazal are worried about. Now, how big are you? So we have both parts to ourselves. We have the power of a bechira. We play a tremendous role in the bria. There's nothing like a ben yisrael. And we're also this being who's on dialysis and a heart lung machine and the brain machine, etc. We're both. So we can't lose sight of both of them. But so like, I've done wonderful things, therefore I deserve praise. Like, you know, but I only did it with a very important partner. I told you the word from Ritalber about meeting a Parshas Veschanon. I said it over last year, I think. Ritalber says a word, Stark. I love this word. I love this word. I think it's pshat, number one. But number two, to think of the word, your mind has to think like that. It's an window into the man who thought of the word. Rabbi Tauber's own thought. And I heard the word, so wow, that's him. Like, this is the man talking. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Veskhanan Hashem, right? He daven, so Chazal say, what's the word, Lashem Veskhanan, Mat Neskhinim? That Tzadikim, even though they have Yesh B'yodim, Torah, Masim Torah, even though they have Skusim, they ask for free. Okay?
Thank you.
So, it says, like, why is that a milah? So I can come to the store and I can pay. So you know, no, do me a favor, give it to me as a gift. I mean, you're a cheapskate, you're a dirty Jew, you know, like pay for it. So tzaddikim, even though they can pay for it, they ask for matnas chinam. So how is that a praise? Why is that a praise? It says, okay, imagine the following mashal. Now you'll remember the mashal. Right? So imagine the following mashal. It's 1938, and Hitler, Yimach Shor, is about to put his final solution into effect. And you are a multi-billionaire, and you have connections all over the place, and you find out that he plans to do this thing, and you hear that he's willing to negotiate. So you fly into Berlin, and you meet with him, and you negotiate the act of saving 6 million people. But to do that, you have to sell every single thing that you own, all of your businesses, your house, your car, your clothing, and you're left homeless, penniless, with no food, with the clothes on your back, and that's it. And you're on the street. No one's like a homeless man. You save 6 million lives. And you haven't eaten for 2 days. And you turn your eyes heavenward and you say, you know, Rabbi Shalom, saving one person is like saving another mole. I saved 6 million. I don't deserve breakfast. I don't deserve some food. So that's not what you say. You say, Rabbi Shalom, saving one life is like saving a whole world. And you, in your infinite kindness, were mazaka me to do that 6 million times. I can never pay you back. I owe you so much for that. You gave me that schus once, and you gave it to me 6 million times. I owe so much to you. I can never even dream of in any way, shape, or form. I live a million years, I can never pay you back that schus that you gave me. But you're such a rachamon. Would you mind also giving me breakfast? I'm really hungry. Rosh Hashanah comes to the verse and says, you allowed me to be the person who took Klai Yisrael to Mitzrayim. You allowed me to be the person who gave Torah to Klai Yisrael. You allowed me to be the person who brought the mon to Klai Yisrael. And the slav. And the bear. I can never pay you back. I owe you so much. If I live a million years, I couldn't pay you back. But you're such a rachamon. Would you mind letting me go there? It's so awesome. That's how we look at what it means we've accomplished. We've accomplished tremendous things. So we're not valueless. We're very, very important people. We've accomplished tremendous things. I don't deserve any recognition for that. I know I'm valuable, but that therefore I deserve recognition. And like, wow, I'm wonderful. And people that should, you know, fall over me. Like, where did that come from? It wasn't me. It was Matan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He helped me. I chose. And I'm going to get reward for that. And I have a right to be proud of that. But that's, you know, at the end of the day, in a healthy society, I'm not sure we live in that anymore, right? In a healthy society, if somebody would save somebody's life, you know, in a situation, you know, he didn't endanger himself tremendously. He doesn't feel good about getting all these hero, you know, it's like, I just do what I'm supposed to do. Like, I don't need recognition for that. Any other person being there, you have all these sort of like these heroes, and they're all like, you know, real life heroes, and they always play it down. You know, why? Not because it's not a game, because they're right. They really believe that anybody else in the same situation would have the same thing. Because how could you not? Okay, so by us, you know, choosing to put on doing mitzvahs, maybe it's a little more of a compliment because not everybody does it. But it's the gaiva is this misunderstanding of that I'm deserving of something more than what I am. But what I am, the value, the role that I play in the world, I know that I play an important role in the world. We all play an important role in the world. Now, that's the point that he says. Now, he brings the story over here. So anova is not nechisis. Nechisis means that I'm lowly, that I'm insignificant. That's not anova. That's you don't understand what role you play. I'm a nobody. I'm not a nobody. The Bresha made me. He gave me roles to play. He gave me, whether it's in my child's life, whether it's somewhere in the world, there's a reason why I'm here. And it's very valuable. The Bresha, the Chazal said that the person has to say, B'chili nivra olam, which means that it was kedai, the whole world, to be created, that I should be here. And that's pretty important. Think about that. 6,000 years of the world was all worthwhile that I should walk the face of the earth for my 70 years. Or 80 years. That's what it means, the value of one yid. So, Anivus is not saying that I'm the... Okay, so he brings a story over here, which I want to touch on. It's on page 120. We spoke about this once before. It's an awesome maisa. It's a mind-boggling maisa, this maisa. On top of the page. This is a Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos. He never eats him a sefer misifrei hamidrash shenish alechem in a chashuvim a chasidim benormer loy. They once asked in one of the, this is the Rambam writing. I saw one of the sermon about midrash that they once asked one of the chasidim, you know, some of the chasidim at the time of the Rambam, it doesn't mean, you know, people wearing gartels. It means, you know, these real people who really live their life for Kadosh Baruch Hu. What was your happiest day of your life? Okay. All right. So we'll do a poll of the room. Right. What's the happiest day of your life? Right. I once told you the Rebbetzin Osband, she said before Shlema. One time the girls asked her this question. Now, this is a woman who was with her father at the end. The Nazis killed him. Who was able to get out and survive the war. Married the Rishi Rav Isaac Osband, this tremendous tzaddik, Kaddish, Talmud Chacham, Nufla. Zaycha, they have, children like Rav Osband, Rishi of tells Riverdale, and she has son Chaim Mordechai Osband, who's like a major Chashim of Talmud Chacham in Bnei Brak, Talmud, you know, Rishiva. Right? So she married such a Chashim person. She married off her children to Chashim people, and she has such a like, what's the happiest day of her life? And she answered, now, I would have thought, this is a woman, she's normal. I mean, she says, girls, I'm not, you think I'm different? I like nice dresses. She used to giggle with the girls. Like, you know, she's a real down-to-earth person. And then she says, the happiest day of my life was the day which I thought I was going to be, so I could be killed by Kiddush Hashem. That was her answer. Like, happiest day of her life. I thought I was going to be killed. You know what? I got a while to get to where she's holding, you know. Yeah. She was raised, she was the daughter of the Tells of Rosh Hashiva in Europe. It was called, you know, the Rav and of Tells and the Rosh Hashiva, Rami Tzabloch, Hashem Yikum Domei. So she was raised very well, Baruch Hashem. So they asked this question, what's the happiest day of your life? So what's he going to say? She says the following. Omar, Yom Shayisi Harlech Vesina. I was traveling on our boat. I was very poor. So they placed me in the hold, Bein Chavilas HaBegadim, between where they keep the storage, they put the luggage. There was also in the boat businessmen, very wealthy. And I was lying in my place. One of them got up and he needed to relieve himself. And he looked at me like I'm a lowlife. I'm a nothing. He let out his very glime on my body, directly on me. That's how low I was to him. I was overwhelmed the level of chutzpah that the man had. I didn't bother me what he did at all. I didn't feel in any way upset. I was so happy that I reached a point in my life that his insignificant, his problems don't define me. I am so confident of my value that there's nothing the world can do to me which will make me lose that understanding. So I'm not insulted. It's his problem. I know I'm valuable. So the world is telling me, you're valueless. You're so valueless that we are willing to physically relieve ourselves on your body. That's how nothing you are. So a person who has, we call nowadays, low self-esteem would be crushed. Because the question is, where do you get your value? Do you get your value from the internal understanding of who you are? And therefore, whatever people think about you is irrelevant. You're not defined by the people around you, or you get your value by what people think about you. And then, this is going to be painful. See, it says a fascinating thing. Because we want to feel valuable, and we want to know that we're significant, so a person who has absorbed that and knows that doesn't spend time thinking about himself. He can be busy thinking about the world. So his healthy self-esteem allows him not to be a person who's self-focused. But a person who has unhealthy self-esteem, so he's always trying to get his value, his covered from the people around him. So he's constantly thinking about himself. I'm not happy with the way people are treating me. I wish people treated me more. Why can't they get a better position? Why can't? It's all about me. Not because of Al-Gaiva. He's the opposite of Al-Gaiva. He needs to present himself as being good, 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 because he can't live with the possibility that maybe he's bad. And the only way he can get that is by people saying that he's good. Rabbi Tversky has his theory that Charles Schulz's comic strip Peanuts is really it's a psychologist's, philosopher's viewing the different types of low self-esteem. So you have Charlie Brown, low self-esteem. And then you have Linus, who deals with it by having an addiction. Yeah. He's addicted to the blanket. And he has the strips where they take away the blanket and he pushes it, goes into withdrawal. You have Snoopy, who deals with it by going into a fantasy world and making himself into the World War One flying ace, right? And you have Lucy, who goes into it by constantly calling attention to herself and saying she's wonderful, and making everybody fall curtain to her. Right? That's his theory. Everybody's a different way, a different type of low self-esteem. That's the whole, he goes through, the Peppermint Patty has her way of doing it, everybody has their way of doing it. This is the only normal person on the strip is Schroeder.
He plays the piano,
like playing a piano, and he tells Lucy off, because he's not in this boat from Lucy. And Charlie Brown does something stupid. He says, Charlie Brown, move on with life. He's not his fault. Right? He's like the fall guy for everybody else, being the normal in that strip is crazy. Do you remember? So he goes to the next paragraph and he says a fascinating thing. He says, here's the problem. He brings a story over here. Listen to this story. Okay? Bedarah Shalach Chassam Sefer, page 121. Chaim Pressburg, Pressburg was considered like one of the great cities of Klal Yisrael. Karbas Alfei Alafim Yehudim. There was 4,000 Jews in Pressburg. Okay. Nowadays, you can have 4,000 people in Bnei Brak and one block. You know. So Rabbi Benusoy, he wanted a yeshiva, right? He was made it tonight that they're going to support a yeshiva. The yeshiva was 8 bachrim. Now he had more than that, but he was willing to commit. If the community would commit to supporting 8 bachrim, I thought they didn't charge tuition. The community actually supported the yeshiva. Nowadays, well, the support was they paid for the cost of the bachrim. Right? So that's yeshiva 8 bachrim. So it was much easier to feel good about yourself when you're 1 of 8 than you're 1 of 1,000 or 1 of 10,000 or 1 of 100,000 or 1 of 1,000,000. So that's the challenges we have nowadays. There's one of the characters in the comic strip was there for a very short time. I remember when he left, he had a big 5 in his front chest. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Okay. I remember when I was a kid. He had a 5 on his, so he comes in, the first he strolls in over there and says, "What's your name?" He says, 5. Like, 5. Like, what's the name like that? He says, "My father decided nowadays, all just numbers, so why should I give you a name?" Like, that was the strip. And again, that's the message. You know, we're nothing. We're numbers. We have no value. Right? The Torah says that that's not true. The Torah says that the Munach Kadosh Baruch Hu says the Baruch Hu created man. He created us for a reason. So we're valuable. There's nothing more valuable in the world than us, because everything else is just the backdrop to the playing of Klal Yisrael's Bechira. So, like, we're it. I mean, so there's interesting thought that, one of the ways that you develop a nevus is by realizing how significant we are. Like, so stop for a second. Rechil Michael Tukhachinsky was a big guy, and he wrote the Sefer Gesher Chaim, which is what is probably the primary Sefer in Hilchos Avelos that people use even to this day. There's other Sefer which is written, but they always, the Gesher Chaim is, you can't ignore you can argue with him, but you can't ignore him. See, he also was a big bucky in calculations and cheshbonos, these type of things. The famous machlokes of where the dateline is was Rechil Michael against the Chazon Ish. So he's the stature and argue of the Chazon Ish. That's thy purpose. So he wrote a sefer about Birchas Hacham. Called, it's a little kudrus. So in 1953, there was a Birchas Hacham. So he wrote a sefer in honor of the Birchas Hacham called Tzkufas Hacham, explaining how the whole thing worked, etc. So he writes an introduction, like a Musa thought, an introduction. So he's also about Musa, because you see, the famous story about the idea of the understanding the idea of life after death, with the mushal of the twins being born in the womb. You ever hear that mushal? It's his mushal. He was the one who wrote it. So, okay, I don't want to get it. It's late. So he says, imagine like this. Imagine, it was 1953, they were building the Hale Observatory on Mount Palomar. Right? And they were, this 200-inch reflective telescope, and they're going to unlock the secrets of the universe. Like, this was it. Like, that was what the scientists were predicting. So he says, imagine like this. Imagine you have a ball, like a gigantic ball, the size of this building. Okay? And on the ball, there's a little dot. Okay? On the dot, there's a molecule. In the molecule, there's an atom. In the atom, there's an electron. And on that electron, there's a little being saying, "I'm going to unlock the secrets of the universe." Says the universe is trillions of light years. Right? There's this little thing called Earth, the sun. Then there's Earth. Then there's then there's United States of America. And there's California. And there's a mountain. And there's a little guy on top saying, "I'm going to unlock the secrets of the universe." Like, you're an idiot. That was the mushal that he gave. Yeah. But stop for a second and picture that mushal and think about how small we are. right? And how physically limited we are. But Rav Martin told me, he says, you know, on a fast day, so people don't have their 80 cc's of coffee, you know. Right? He says, and they're always matched the whole day. He says, so the value, the measure of the man is he, without 80 cc's of coffee, he's nothing. That's how weak we are. He's always matched for the whole day because he didn't have his 80 cc's of coffee, in the morning. But that's a man. Like, look how weak we are. And the Baruch Hashem reaches across that and says, you're the most valuable thing in the Bria. The whole world was created for you. The more we realize how small we are, the more we realize the godless of what it means, Bishul Nivrei Ha'olam. And that message is so much more powerful. How valuable I must be that the Baruch Hashem was willing to make this little nothing the arbiter of the destiny of the whole universe. So the more I understand how small I am, well, the more I understand how big I am. It's a fascinating thought. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal and says, Rei Anochi. Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was. Moshe Rabbeinu knew. Moshe Rabbeinu stood up to all, like, I'm a nobody. Moshe Rabbeinu's an honor of all me called them. So, you know, there's a chet egg, like, I can't fight them. Like, you know, me? I'm a nobody. Moshe Rabbeinu stood up against 600,000 people. Like, I mean, you gotta have a little bit of self-confidence for that one, right? Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was. Moshe Rabbeinu walks up to Paro, like me. You know, Paro, me and Rechish Eilech Paro. He said, I'm not the right person. Okay, Moshe said, you are the right person. So he went, okay, and the person said, the gate. I mean, and the Sukkim, you know, the Midrashim, he wasn't scared. The Kenim were scared, they moved away, and Moshe Rabbeinu went. Like, I don't know about you, I don't think I would have made it. Like, you've got to be pretty confident that you can walk into Paro. So one of the Balaam Akshav one time said that, why the Russian raise Moshe Rabbeinu in base Paro? So I once heard from a Choshev Tamil Chochem, I have a chaver whose father was rich. So he said there's a certain azus that the children of rich people have. Certain chutzpah that they have. Because, you know, they sort of feel like, you know, this person used it to become one of the most successful fundraisers for a moysid because he wasn't his ball. So he was willing to go to the, you know, we need money for the moysid, please help. So he took his azus, made it azus the kedusha, made it, you know, we need to know that all of Klal Yisrael, we're princes. So, like, what are you scared of? Like, we need to know we're valuable. So that's like the. So he says. So how do you deal with this issue that, you know, I'm one of a million? So that's like this. So he says. Page 123. He says like this: Harei gam kishazug mischaten. Couples getting married. Hey, mechonim roitzin linose v'lu rak bishil yelad echad. They want to, even if they only have one child, they want to get married. Gam a harim mishnayat stod and mechonim lekachad latzim all chayvus lesser shon and bishil matarazu. Let's say we've got a nevuah that you only can have one child. You still get married. So it means you're willing to do all of everything which takes all of the costs, etc., for that one child. Now, you end up having 10 children, so they're less valuable? No. The fact that they're willing to do it for one isn't changed by the fact they end up having 10. The person says, I'm willing to create the whole world just for you. Doesn't mean the fact that it doesn't change the fact that there's 7.5 billion people in the world. Okay? So now, take a look at this last thought over here. The page 153 at the bottom. The Gemara says, the story with Hillel, that the Nachri comes, he's Geyer, Gairaini Amanasha Tlatlandani called her Kula on 1 foot. So Hillel was Megarim. He said, whatever you don't like, they'll do to your Chavercha. Everything else is Pirish. Go and learn. Okay. So what's going on? What was, how's that an answer? Okay. Bahavona, page 124. Bahavona Mika Nira, Shahoy Kandusiach Omuk, Vyasoidi Bikri Adas. There was this conversation over here about a very potent foundation of the Torah. A guy is a Bikri Adas, Mao Noise Merkazisha, Sivoy Subevis Adas. You want to know what is the point which everything revolves around. Chomorechus Chukim Yesh Hagdora Mimatsa, Mao Noise Shalom. So everything has, you have the rules, but you have behind that a purpose, a goal, an ideal. You have this tremendous amount of rules over here in Yiddishkeit. I want to do that. I want to understand what it's about. What is it coming to express? Okay? That's even a regular, because I wanted to have that one thing that you can turn everything around on. Everything goes around that point. Okay, now the next paragraph. So the answer is, Rashi explains, that that which you don't like for yourself, don't do to your chavercha. It's referring to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Reach of Reach of Ichal Tazoiv is that Kadosh Baruch Hu. Al Tavra al Devarav Shealecha Sonui Shever Chavercha al Devarecha. Just like you don't like when somebody doesn't listen to you, don't do that to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rashi touches the Gemara. It's not talking about Ben Olam Chaver. It's talking about to you and Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rashi says, Inami, it's referring to you and to friends. But the first shot Rashi is referring to you and Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he points out over here. You need to keep your maintain a good, healthy relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hayadus enu marechas drishas v'chukim. He marechas yachsim benenu lebenu Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yadus is about a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not about rules. The rules and whether there are specific rules or unspecific rules, we know there are certain ways that you act in a marriage. Right? That's what maintains the marriage. So is marriage about rules? Marriage is about a relationship which is maintained through these rules. If I ignore taking out the garbage, at a different time it's going to wear away the relationship. So I understand it's important I should take out the garbage. If I leave my smelly socks on the floor every single day, it's going to affect the relationship. So I put my smelly socks away. The issue isn't smelly socks and hampers. The issue is a relationship. The way I maintain a relationship is by certain things I don't do and certain things I do do. Right? So that's exactly the same thing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to understand the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he says on page 125, which is that I love all my children equally. We might have 10 of them. It's famous with the Blazer Telzer was his love for his Talmidim was like through the roof. Right? His love for Torah was through the roof. He was beside when Rav Chaim Brisker married off Rav Moshe, Yosha Bear from Soloveitchik the Shiva from YU. His father was Rav Moshe. That was the Brisker Rav's older brother. So by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's chasna, Rav Chaim asked Rav Lezer Telzer to be in the Masada Kedusha. So they asked Rav Chaim, like, why you felt he's like the biggest Talmid Chacham? Like, why'd you pick him? Not because he wasn't. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. I says, I don't know. I can't tell you who's the biggest Talmid Chacham. I can tell you when I was a Torah, there's nobody like him. He says, how do I know? He says, Sotel's was established, the Yeshiva Sotel's was established, officially they say not 1876, they say. Reality was something that beforehand was very small, but it was developed into a large Yeshiva at that point in time. And Reb Leizer tells us was the Rav of the city, and he was the Rosh Hashiva. When Voloshin, Reb Chaim was saying Shurim in Voloshin, when Voloshin closed in 1892, so Reb Leizer tells her, invited Reb Chaim to come say Shurim in Tells. The what if scenes are always fascinating to think about. What if Reb Chaim Brisker went to Tells? Anyway, fine. So Reb Chaim said no. So Reb Leizer wrote him back. It was through letters. Reb Leizer wrote him back. He says, I understand you. It's very uncomfortable that you should come to the Yeshiva Rosh Hashiva and you should be just a Magid Shir. I'll give up the Rosh Hashiva and you should become the Rosh Hashiva. Just, I want you my Tamina Dezarcha to hear your Shur. So Reb Chaim wrote back, no. So Leizer tells him, wrote back. He says, I understand you. It's uncomfortable. I'll abdicate from the Rabbanus and Rosh Hashiva and I'll make you the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva, but be my Tamina Dezarcha to hear your Torah. That's what Leizer tells her. Wrote him. So Reb Chaim said that a man could do that is in Me'ala Me'evert. It's a mind-boggling madrega of love for Torah. That he was willing to give up everything. That somebody should hear my shur. So whatever reason, Reb Chaim didn't accept the offer. But it says, but when it came to Masada Kedushin, that was a sort of laser. One time, somebody came into the yeshiva and he went looking for a son-in-law. So he's looking around and he sees a certain bakr, very good, etc. He says, says, what about that bakr? He says, that bakr. He's a gewaltige Masmir, he's a gewaltige Lam, etc. And he's my Ben Yochid. Reb Leizer tells us Ben Yochid. Meanwhile, he knows another Bacher, he says, what about him? He says, that Bacher is such a Lam and such an Amkin, he's talking my Ben Yochid. He says, have him 3 or 4 times. He says, how many Ben Yochidim do you have? He says, it's 400. Right? What about Tel Hashem Lekechem is this expression. Right? Don't lose sight of who you are. I'll just close with this thought a little bit. So we're walking away with multiple thoughts, but that understanding who you are is not treif. Anivus is not that you don't understand your value. I don't know, but you need to know your value because otherwise you're open to do anything in the world. You'll bottom out. It's understanding that you have tremendous value. The moon and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is mechayev that you have tremendous value. And know that you have this tremendous value, and the it's rooted in this concept of the Bonim Atel Hashem Lekechim. Your brother is Ben Yochid. He happens to have a few million others, so that's his business. But I'm the brother was willing to create the whole world just for me. It means the whole world was Kedai that I should walk the face of the earth for 70 years. With everything, the whole universe is Kedai, and everything which all of the stars add and impact and all the gravity, that everything should be just perfect, that I should be able to be here for 70 years. That's worth the whole Bria. That's how valuable I am to Kodesh Baruch. So don't blow it. Don't lower yourself and say that I'm worthless. You're not worthless. You're very valuable. But don't think that you need recognition because of that. I don't need Adarava. The more I absorb this and I'm confident in it, I don't really focus on what you think about me. That's really not what life is about. I don't need your recognition. I don't want your recognition. It's just it takes up my focus. My focus is on, when a husband is with his wife and they have this beautiful relationship and they're doing things to each other, etc., he's not really worrying about what the neighbor thinks. If anything, that's a distraction. Right? He wants to focus on his wife and what's good for her and what she needs. But what are the neighbors going to say? That's unhealthy. If I feel, I know what's right for me, I know what's right for my wife, I know what we have to do, and if you think otherwise, that's okay, that's your problem. Why should I? I don't want to change my life because of you. So why don't we have the same understanding that we have mitzvahs and we have Torah and we have responsibilities and we have the Brashim loves us. And he values us, and he gave us these rules as a way to maintain the relationship. And don't mess up the relationship. And don't mess up the relationship because you're worried about what somebody else is going to think. Or do it because you want people to think you're good. I show my wife love because this is what people will say I'm a nice husband. Really? What are you, really low life? But I do mitzvahs because people should think I'm a nice guy. What are you, a low life? You do mitzvahs because you have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the nakuda that he's trying to say. We understand how valuable we are, so then Adarabha. I don't spend my time thinking about other people. So then I can, when I'm not, I'm confident in it, so I can notice that this person needs help. I'm not busy worrying about what he's thinking about me, so I can busy notice him. What do you think about me? I'm not seeing him. I'm just seeing me. So the you know, it's interesting. If you look at the comic strip, Lucy was much less healthy than Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown was a person who noticed other people. Right? Lucy only saw herself. That was her way to protect herself from being what valueless she was. That she could only do it by constantly projecting herself, her needs and her wants and her desires and her goals and her on the rest of the world. Right? That's our goal, is to absorb that we're comfortable. Moshe Rabbeinu was comfortable walking around the closet and saying, "You know what? You can do good just like I did good. It works out good. It's not good. I'm not saying I'm special. I'm not saying you have to worship me. I don't deserve anything because of that. It's a chesed of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I did accomplish something, and I know that. And I'm not losing sight of that. I know it's valuable what I did. I know it's valuable what I've accomplished, and I want you to do the same."